We don't believe in making resolutions because those things just pass. Without God, we can do nothing, but by His power and strength, we can do all the things that He wants us to do. And so I've tried to give some subjects on that, and this last one for the month of January is about principles of sowing. And throughout the passage that I read, he's talking about giving liberally of our finances, of ourself, of our time, of our work for Him. And if we want to have a better 2000, and if we're Christian, 2018, and we had 17, these principles will help us out. And so hopefully they'll be of some help to you. And the last verse that I read to you from that passage was verse 15, which is also a carryover from some of the Christmas verses I use. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And that unspeakable gift is the Lord Jesus Christ. Where would we be without Jesus? Where would we be? I think when he looks up on this world today, and the only thing that keeps us and holds us back from more sorrow, more heartache, more of the garbage that we have is the fact of Jesus Christ. I have another passage that I want to share because it kind of relates a little bit to our subject. It's found in Matthew chapter 25, and it's on the screen, I believe. I'll begin reading at 24 because I'm hearing a lot of stupid stuff about what's going on in our government and people who make money and those that don't make money and things like that. There is a principle that if you give more, you receive more. When people are screaming about why do the rich people get more money, it's because they got more money. If you invest $1 million and I invest 10, which one of us is going to get the most money in return? That's not a big, hard thing to figure out, is it? I mean, I don't know a lot of math, but I know one thing. If you got $1 million and you invest all of it and I only got 100, you're bound to get more than me. I don't know why we can't figure those kind of things out. And if you decide to spend your money on your pleasures, that's fine. And then if he decides to save his, he's obviously going to have more again. So we have to understand those principles. And Jesus points that out in this passage of Scripture. And I don't have it all there, but the story is about when he gave talents to three different people. And we pick up the last one here. He gave 10, 5, and 1. Notice in Matthew 25, verse 24, then he which had received the one talent. See, these other guys got him, remember? And he said, you got 10, boy, that's good. And the other one, he invested and he got double his, that's good. But notice this guy only had one, what he says. The one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathered where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid my talent in the earth. And lo, that is thine. I got this one talent to give back. I didn't make anything, but I got what I got. How sad is it going to be when we stand before God and we say, well, God, here I am. I got saved. You saved me, but I don't have anything to show for the Christianity. Where is the verse that says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling? You did not do anything with what I gave you. And listen to what he says. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked. You know, I say to us time and time again and to myself, I think our sins of omission sometimes are more devastating than our sins of commission. The Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is a sin. God expects us to do something for him once that we're saved. We've been studying and still studying on Wednesday nights the book of James, and he talks about our work. He said, if you really want to show your faith, then there'll be some work that'll evident that you are doing something for God. His Lord answered and said, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Usury means some interest rate to it. Our lives should give interest back. We should give back to the world. We think of the Good Samaritan when he went by. We find the religious people going on by, but he wants to invest himself in another life. He wants to do more than just sit on his seat and go through life and through the church and through whatever God's given him and just enjoy the blessings and look for more for himself and pleasure. He says, take there. Now listen to this, what he says in verse 28. Take therefore the talent from it and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. We have this principle today, and the government and people are dominating our thinking that those of us that have are supposed to give to the have-nots. But he does the exact opposite. Now, if somebody cannot work and somebody cannot give and somebody doesn't have any mental or physical capacity, of course we want to have concern and care. But people need to go out and take a chance like the rest of us and try to invest their lives and themselves into something. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. That doesn't sound very fair to this bunch of Democrats today, does it? They don't think that's very fair. Going to take away. We should be given more stuff, more free stuff. For unto every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away, even though he didn't. So let's look at the principles of sowing if we want to have as individuals, as a church, in 2018. First of all, the more we sow, the more we reap. That's just a principle that's going to happen in a bad year or a good year. And I'd like to stop and say a minute, the Bible was written in a time, and the illustrations used are more about agriculture and things of that nature. And people who don't understand that do not understand a lot of the stories that are in the Bible. It had to do with biology, with sheep and things like that. And we don't, what's a sheep? How do I understand that? So we need to let our mind and try to fathom what God is trying to tell us here. And he's speaking to us here about sowing seed, and that if he sows sparingly, notice what he says in 2 Corinthians 9, but I say unto he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And he's giving an illustration to do with seed and crops, but he's talking about our life, he's talking about our finances, he's talking about things that we're to give and give and give and keep giving and find more ways to give to God that the work might get done. I'm sure the missionary that's here this morning, and we know when we've had others, talk about how many thousands and millions of people that have never heard the gospel or seen the Bible in their own language. How many are there in the world, and especially the 1040 world, and I'm sure those people way up there in Siberia, who's going to go to that cold, frozen, refrigerated place and give out the gospel? We share the gospel. And who's going to take the chance? Who's going to, like the guy that got one talent? Well, I was afraid. I was afraid I'd mess up. I was afraid I'd lose it. I was afraid I wouldn't do very well. And so we come up with all these lame brain excuses why we're not going to say, count me in. Put me in the booth too. I will do it. So he says, the more we sow, the more we reap. We're going to obviously have dry days. We're going to have hot days. We're going to have days that it's going to be difficult. We're going to have problems. We're going to have difficulties. People are going to misunderstand us and what we're doing. But God says, give and more will be given unto you. The missionary was talking this morning. Philip was available. He was already doing a great work. He was down there preaching, and a lot of people were getting saved. But God found a man who was doing something and said, now I want you to go down here and do something for me down here. God doesn't call people that are sitting around and afraid to attempt something, afraid they might mess up, or afraid they can't do it, or afraid they can't handle it. I have people say every once in a while, well, I just can't work with kids. Now, that's a pretty dumb thing to say. That's the way we all get here as kids. We don't come as nice, neat, dressed adults, and then we sit in a pew. And that's not how we got here. We all got here with dirty diapers, right? Huh? I mean, I think we did. That's how we all came, and we had to learn, and we still keep learning. Well, as our Christianity, we do the same thing. We come as a child of God. We don't know anything. We've got saved, and maybe what we do know is a little bit backwards, but we need to be taught, we need to be trained, and we need to be so we go that way. How are we going to work with people? We got to work with all kinds of people that come into our life, and God doesn't throw any away until they're absolutely decide themselves they want to be thrown away. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Secondly, we reap the kind we sow. If we sow corn, we get corn. If we sow wheat, we get wheat. If we sow weeds, we get weeds. And in our life, and in our reinvesting in people, and if we sow bad spirits and evil spirits, and we sow unkind thoughts, and we sow laziness or wrong kind of principles, then that's the kind of stuff we're going to reap. Where did these people come from? And how did this generation of millennials ever get the idea And now they're talking we should have free college, right? And we should have free this, and we should have free that, and we should have free that. There's nothing free in this world. Somebody has bought and paid for something somewhere and provided the fund. There's nothing absolutely free. The only thing that is free is our salvation. And once we get salvation, God says, take it and work it. And work with that salvation that others might come to know the Lord Jesus as well. And God doesn't expect you to do what the guy who's got 10 talents, but if you got only one talent, he expects you to take that talent and use it for him to multiply that others might come to Christ through your giving and your sacrificing of whatever small amount. He said, even if we give a cup of cold water in his name, he will bless that and we'll be rewarded for that on that day. Just giving a cup of cold water. If that's all we can do, if that's all we got. The story about the lady in one of those countries was trying to water flowers, and the only thing she had was a bucket with holes in it. And she'd go down and get the water, and by the time she got up to water the flowers, the water was all gone. Then one day she noticed something very unique. All those trips and trails she had made up that hill with that bucket of water, there were beautiful flowers growing that she'd watered up the whole way. We never know what our life is going to do and what impact it's going to make if we're willing to say, okay, I got one holy bucket. I'm going to take and use it for God until God gives me something better to do for him. He says there in 2 Corinthians 9:6, but I say he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully. So we give it out. We give it out. We're not going to take it with us. And notice in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. So if we reap unkindness and we reap laziness and we reap not getting involved, then that's what we're going to reap back. And we'll see that coming through and coming through. That's how those young people got this idea. Somebody has taught them along the way. We used to have an agricultural society. We used to have shops in town. When I was a kid, when we left school, when I left high school, I had to go home, change my clothes, get out to the barn, start cleaning out the barn, get ready to milk the cows. Some of my buddies, they'd go to their dad's store, and they had to work in the store that evening. But we all had to go some work. We weren't hanging out. We weren't messing around. We had things to do. We were taught that work was important in your life, and giving of yourself was important in your life. And you weren't paid for all those things. I didn't get a dollar every time I cleaned the barn out. I would have got something else if I didn't do that. But we've taught this kind of society that the world owes you something. And if you go to school and you get an A, oh, you got to get a dollar. No, that's what you're supposed to do. You're there to give your very best to the master, to work for those things. We're not to be passing out all this stuff till they've got a generation that thinks that's what it's all about. Free stuff. Give me mine. Isn't it free? And then number three, we see that there's a season to sow and a season to reap. If we let the season go when it's time, my dad used to have an expression. He did a little bit of blacksmith work, used to make horseshoes and that kind of thing. And when he'd shoe the horse, one of my jobs was I had to stand up in the manger as a little kid, and they'd put a twitch in his nose. Anybody ever saw that done? They put a twitch in the horse's nose, and he'd have that stick, and he'd say, now, I want you to hold it right there. And so my dad's back there working on the horse, and I'm holding that twitch real tight in there, and the horse is going like this, and then I look, and I think, it's the horse, poor horse, and I'll let up on it a little bit. My dad, without turning from where he was, he'd say, John, don't loosen that, tighten it. I thought, how does he know? Well, the horse starts moving his foot, right? So we got to understand some things. But his shoeing the horses, and with the point I was getting to, he had this expression, you got to hit iron while it's hot. He would heat, take the tongs and put the horseshoe in the fire, and then bam, bam, bam. So we have to hit the iron while it's hot. There are opportunities that come your way. There are things that are going to come in your life that may only be one time, and like that shoe that needs hit now, they will be there now, and soon they'll be gone. And you won't have the opportunity to do. When we stand before God, he'll line out those opportunities. I had this for you. I had that for you. I had this for you. I had this for you. But you just didn't seem to care. You weren't seem to be aware or looking. You know, we start out by praying in the morning, give me an opportunity today to be a witness. And somebody comes to us all mad, all crazy, and we're thinking, I don't want to deal with that guy. Well, that's the very guy God wants you to deal with. God wants us to be His witnesses to a lost and dying world and to those that nobody else wants to witness to. And maybe he's cursing the church and saying bad things and saying all that Pastor Hodge wants is your money or something like that. And you're thinking, what do I tell this guy? What about Jesus? What about the Lord Jesus Christ? So we reap what we sow. And there's a season. And we got to plant while the season's right. Because the harvest will come. And if we waited too long, we'll have no seed to grow and produce a harvest for us. He says in Ecclesiastes 3:2, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. God's given us all the illustrations, a time to be born. I believe there's people in this world that need to be saved right now. And there's one person in this world that will say and do and be the right things to that person, and they would get saved if that person will follow the steps of the Lord and be guided into it. I may not be able to witness to them in a language or a feeling that they'll understand. You may not, but one person is. A time to be born. I believe there's a time because God has offered salvation freely to everyone. I don't believe the worst person in this world, the biggest crook, the biggest murderer, is without salvation, that God has an appointed place and time. If they come to that place and they confess Christ and accept Him, that His blood suffices for them. And we all believe that, amen? That everyone could be saved. Whosoever will may come. But what if that person who's responsible to do that doesn't do that? A time. If we miss the timing. We miss the timing. I know we have some people in here that understand baseball terminology. It's not how hard you hit the ball. It's the timing. It's where you hit it. When you hit it at that very millisecond, that can do what it's supposed to do. Our opportunities are like that. They come along in milliseconds. And we're distracted, or we're upset about something else, or we're carrying a load of garbage ourselves. By the way, this altar is where we dump our spiritual garbage. We need to get rid of it. We don't want to take it out of here. Well, the preacher made me feel bad this morning. Sound like he's just preaching to me. Well, then come dump the garbage. Get rid of it. And go out feeling relieved and that it's all gone. I've given it to God. It's over. Because once we ask God to forgive us, what does He do? He forgives us. And what is it? With God, it's over. God doesn't go around carrying a little black book saying, oh, remember 6 months ago? No, God does. He said, He took our sins and put them behind His back and He remembers them no more. Amen? So a time to be born. A time to die. We need to think about that. We all have an appointment with God in death. The Bible says, another verse, it's appointed unto man once to die and after that the judgment. Everyone in this room, every face you see tomorrow, everybody you see walking, everybody you see wherever you go, every one of those people have an appointment with God in death. And prepare to meet thy God, the prophet said. So if they got a time to die, isn't it urgent that we get the gospel to them? That we sow the seed of righteousness and salvation? And that we ask God, God help me to be a better witness? Help me not be the... There's two kinds of people that I meet. There's the ones and I see them. I'm thinking, boy, I'm glad I got to see you. Hey, let's go have a cup of coffee. Let's have breakfast. Let's do something together. I like being around them. I like the way they talk. I like the things we talk about. I like the jokes we tell. And there's other people when I'm seeing, I'm thinking, oh, I hope they don't want to talk to me today. Now, do you have people like that in your life? Honestly, am I the only one that way? You like that? There's some people you just don't want to be around. You just don't want them to come in the office. And if you come to the church, I say, Trudy, tell them I'm in the office. I'm studying you. No, I don't really do that. But you know what I'm saying? There's a time to die. That person is going to die someday. So I should be praying, and you should be praying, Lord, help me to meet this grouch today. Lord, help me to be a witness, because this grouch is going to die. And this grouch is going to need salvation when he dies, or whatever he is. Making sense to you? Some of you are looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. See, I use those expressions too. We used to have a large farm, and we didn't bother building a gate every time. We'd want to move the cattle from one pasture to another, so we'd go out with the wire cutters, cut a gap in it, fix a pole in it so it's shut. And you bring those cattle up there, and they'd never been through that gate before. And they'd look at it like, I don't know if I'm supposed to go through there. And they'd juke and jump and carry on, and I'm, get through there, get through there. Sometimes we're like that. We know we're supposed to hit the altar, but it looks like a new gate I've never been through before. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know about this. The new gate is open. He says, knock, and he'll open. He said, ask, and you'll receive. You know, we've got to, in the same illustration again, we've got to hit the iron while it's hot. 2018 is going to be the last year that some people are going to be able to be saved. They're not going to have another opportunity after 2018. Some of us sitting here may never, and you know, many of us, may be the last year we have an opportunity to do anything for God. People tell me all the time, one of these days, Pastor, I'm thinking about doing this. We do what we plan to do. And everybody has 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. We all have the same amount of time. I'm too busy. When you get too busy for God, you are too busy. And notice what he says in Galatians. By the way, this is a lot of fun when you get at it. Do you know what I mean? It's not hard work meeting that grouch. After a while, you find out if you really pray, God gives you illustrations. Well, I see you really got a, you're having a bad day. Come on in. You want a cup of coffee? You want to go have lunch? Hey, what can I do for you? And the guy's overwhelmed with your kindness. He just doesn't know what to say or how to be grouchy anymore. But you can help him be grouchy. I know you're kind of grouchy today, huh? You're kind of upset, huh? Well, you know, you go through that spell too. But he says in Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, what did I say? There's a time to reap. We shall reap. If we faint not. If we faint not. We just give up. We just give up. Do you ever hear that song about the guy, he's out Midwest or West somewhere, and he's dragging his horse along. They're in a snowstorm, and his horse is starving and hungry, and he's freezing. And he's saying, come on, Dan. Come on. We got to get to a barn. We got to get to a shed. And he goes on and on. And he says, okay, Dan, lay down for a minute or two. I know you're tired. Next day, they found him within 100 yards of the barn, froze to death. 100 yards. Can't you make the last 100 yards? Can't you give the last push of your life for somebody who may be facing that death? In Jeremiah 1:10, he says, see, I have set thee this day. Jeremiah was a very young man. Matter of fact, he mentions that. He thought he was too young to serve God. But God said to him, I've set thee over nations and over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build and plant. People say to me, you get so excited about America, you should be, the church should just talk about the church and God and missionaries. He said to Jeremiah, I've set you over nations. If God's going to give America a conscience about anything, he's going to do it through the church. This is the conscience of God. When it's getting more and more people who say, well, abortion is a good thing. It helps women who are in a bad situation to make a decision where they won't be stressed out anymore. This is murder, 100% murder. The people who did it, the woman who allowed it, and the man, whoever he was, ran from it, they're all going to appear before God for the murder that they committed when they aborted a baby. The most innocent life. And isn't it amazing? We want to kill the babies, but we want to turn the murderers loose out of the prison. I can't quite figure that out. Here's the guy that's guilty, and here's the baby that's innocent, and we want to kill the innocent and turn the guilty loose. Doesn't make any sense. And this is supposed to be education, and you're not educated. You're not smart if you don't see things that way. Got all that garbage going on with us. I've set the over nations. God wants to give America a voice, a conscience. By the way, we're going to have a chance, I think, to put another Supreme Court on. Did you see where old Miss So-and-so, whatever her name is, went to sleep in her meeting, just fell asleep. She's not even able to function. Isn't that something? Got people so old and decrepit, they don't even know what's going on in the world. Oh, yeah, but I'm for abortion. Oh, yeah, but I'm for this and I'm for that. And I'm not against this and I'm against that. So on and so forth. But notice what he said, we have to pull down, destroy, and throw down, and build to plant. Before you can do the ground, you got to prepare the ground. You got to clean up the last year's. If you're going to plant your garden this spring, if you didn't do it already, you got to get the trash off of there. Burn all that trash, rake it off, get all the dirt out, go through. Do you ever have to pick rocks off the ground? Yeah, that was a job, wasn't it? Got to pick it up. And then that stupid yellow stuff that grows, right? You got to go out and pull that. Huh? Do you ever have to do that? You got the ground ready. Well, the same thing is true with God's work. That grouch, you got to get all those problems aside and get him onto the subject of what God is about. Get the trash out. And like I said, this is the place to dump it. Get rid of your trash. That's what this altar's for. Don't be bent up. Don't be tied up. Don't say, well, I knew he was going to preach about giving more money and I ain't even got enough to pay my taxes this year. You know, if you gave more, you wouldn't have as many taxes to pay. Hello? You hearing me? You hearing what I'm saying? You know, payday's coming. And the big payday with the big rewarder, God, is coming too. And it's going to be a lot harder than the IRS. It's going to be a lot harder than that when we meet God. And God's going to say, I needed $5 more, and you had it in your pocket. You looked in there and said, no, I need to buy some snuff this week. I need my skull, right? And I need to buy my smokes. Yeah, and I need to have a few cups of coffee, huh? And we didn't give that $5, huh? And there was a soul that they could have reached, but they didn't do it. I believe we'll have those kind of meetings with God if we're not careful. And then we need to prepare the place to sow, as I mentioned already. Psalm 126, verse 5. And let me tell you, this is the greatest preparation that you can do for preparing to sow. And he says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. We need to weep over people again. We need to weep over God's work again. We need to weep for the lost. And involved with that weeping is the praying. We need to pray. We need to pray and pray and pray like we've never prayed before. We're living in dire days. Think of what kind of mess our children are listening to in our public schools. And in our society. And in the social media, the cell phones or wherever they get it. Think about, they're talking about sex texting and sending nude pictures of one another. How did we get to this place? We need to weep over these kind of things. We need to weep and weep and weep and weep and pray to God. God, give us a voice. God, help us to stand up. We need to stand up for God and for righteousness. And he went on to tell us another principle. We need to care for what we sow. Once you plant it, this is always my big problem. Boy, it seems like one day I miss getting in the garden, and I come back the next day, and I got weeds higher than what I planted. You ever do that? And think, wow. And then, this is really bad. Charlotte likes a lot of flowers, and I can't tell a flower from a weed. And so I think, that looks bad. I cut it down. 5 seconds, John, you cut my flowers down. We have to care for stuff after we plant. We have to know, and you know how you know what the difference in the spiritual sense is weeds and not and good stuff is here. He said the tares come up among the good stuff. We got to be doctrinally sound and know what's right and what's wrong. One church, some people say, oh, one church is good as another. No. The blessed, and I was asking our missionary, do those people over there that have the Orthodox church and think that's all they're got, they're a problem. Those people have learned, when you've learned stuff wrong, it's hard to unlearn it, and especially about the Bible. When you've been taught that going through a baptismal pool gets you to heaven, it's hard to undo that, or you've been dipped or drapped or sprinkled or whatever you did, you know, that. Wow, I went to church and they took me when I was a baby to the altar, mom and dad, and I got sprinkled, so I'm ready. No. You can go in a dry sinner and come out a wet one and still die and go to hell. You see, so we have to keep pulling the weeds out. We have to keep pulling the weeds out and keep sowing the tears and watering it so that it'll grow. Lord, I pray for that man today I gave a tract to. He was a mess, but I gave him a tract, and he said he would read it later. He was too busy. Lord, I pray you'd remind him tonight before he goes to bed to read that tract. Oh, God, I'll get down here by my couch tonight before I go to bed, and I'll pray for him, and I'll pray for him. May never seem till you get to heaven. I believe there'll be a line of people when you come into heaven as your reward. Hey, you know, you sent some tracts down to Mexico. I got one of them. That's how I got saved. Hey, you passed a track out at my door. I saw it. You witnessed to a man one day, and I was standing by and listened. I had this to actually happen. I was praying with some people, and it was after a funeral out in Bedford one time. We were praying, and they asked if they could get saved. And I said, yeah, and so I led them through the plan of salvation. I prayed, and this other person was sitting over. I said, what about you? You get saved? They said, oh, I'm already saved. I said, when did you get saved? They said, just now when you showed them how I listened and I got saved. I said, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So that's what we reap. He says, we'll reap where we've never sown before. We don't even know what happened. And that's when there's glory. When we're not looking around, we don't need a scorecard coming here and say, well, I passed out 1,000 tracts today, and I witnessed to 10 people today. Bless God. And I got my Scofield Bible, and I got it all done. Hey, that's not the kind of Christian God wants. You don't have to tell anybody but God. Because God is the one who does the saving. And we're His workers and His workmen, right? Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 3:6. I have planted, this is Paul talking in Corinthians, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I sow the seed, somebody else will water it. He said, so then, neither is he that planteth anything. I like that part. You know, when we realize that's one of the requirements to being a servant of God, is you come to the place and realize, I'm just a piece of clay. Take me and mold me, God, and make me into what you want so you can do your work through me and in me. But in me, Lord, I'm nothing. My flesh is corrupt. It's evil. It's vile. But we get the idea that we're pretty hot stuff. I can just do it better than somebody else. God has none of that. Neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. In conclusion, let me say this. If we don't sow, we're never going to reap. We quit sowing. A lot of people, I want to teach on the finer points of salvation. There is no finer points of salvation. There's one great big point, and that is that God will save a sinner who will confess him. That's all there is to that, the finer points of salvation. Notice this in 2 Thessalonians 3:8. Neither did we eat, Paul's talking about himself, any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to you. Not because we had no power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. Paul said, I could have went down and said, I'm a preacher and I need some money. I need some help. But he said, I wanted to show you that I was willing to work first. So I worked with you people. And he says, verse 10, I like this verse. My dad didn't quote many verses in the Bible, but when he wanted me to get out and work, he quoted this verse. He actually paraphrased it. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Could everybody say amen?
Amen.
Let's say it again. Amen. Amen. If you don't work, don't eat. God's pretty clear about that, isn't he? What's that crowd down there? We're going to give all this free stuff to everybody. For we hear, Paul said in verse 11, that there are some which walk among you disorderly, walking not at all, working not at all, but are busybodies. You know why they're busybodies? Because they're not working. You know people that create trouble, make problems in the church or in our company? It's people that don't do anything. If you work, you don't have time for that stuff. You're working so you can help feed somebody. And if it's the gospel, you're working for to feed people the gospel. And if it's working in a factory to provide whatever provide for the boss, it's doing something so that other people may, and you can eat and people can eat. But God says the one who's sitting around, he has that time. Hey, come here, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something I heard about the boss. And you're not on break. And the boss is saying, get to work. Oh, I want to tell him a little story I heard the other day. I mean, we have so much of that kind of stuff going on. Paul says they're busybodies. They make problems wherever they go. Now them, verse 12, that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that they with quietness, they work and eat their own bread. He's got a lot to say there, doesn't he? I mean, aren't those good principles of God for our country, for our families, for our homes, for our church? You know, you don't have a right to gripe about the church if you're not giving and you're not doing. May I say that? I mean, why did you do this? Why did you do that? What did you do? Nothing. Well, then shut up. May I be plain? We want to buy the cake, but we don't want to do anything. You know, he said, if they don't work, they should not eat. They should not enjoy the pleasure. There's some principles I hope that you'll understand. And for 2018, I hope you'll try to apply them in your life and your ministry and the work of our church so we can see things done. Amen. To the work, we are children of God. That is led to the man that the Master has trod. Hey, we got to do it. We got to do the work. We got to do the work. Somebody's got to work. And God says we're all supposed to. When I was 6 years old, Dad said, come on, John, you're big enough to carry a hoe. Take a hoe and chop the weeds and pull the dirt up around the corn. Used to get in a river bottom. It was about a mile long. I thought, I'll never get to the end of the row. I'll never get to the end of the row. One of the worst whippings I got one day, I thought, I'll just chop the corn down. I chopped the corn down. My dad come back in the row and saw with that hot sun and all that, what are you doing? Foul! Foul! I didn't chop any more corn down, I'll tell you that. We got to wake up. We got to wake up. This book tells us everything we need to know about life and about Christianity. It tells us. And our government needs to know. I'm going to have a man in here soon who's going to have a revival on nationalism about our nation. He's going to preach on Sunday morning and Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. He's a colonel. This guy's been in the Army. He knows what he's doing. He's a Christian. He's a man. He's going to be running for office. But this guy is a Christian. Knows what he's talking about. We're responsible. That much of welfare budget, they don't. You know, the Democrats, they don't want to go away with any of the problems. If they go away with the problems we have, they wouldn't have anything to run on. That's why they don't want to fix the immigration. They don't want to fix nothing because they can keep saying it. They want the blacks to live in poverty and get shot in Chicago because if we get all that straightened out, what are they going to gripe about? Hello? You know, we're the ones that's going to do it. We're the ones going to fix it if it gets fixed. And this old book will fix everything. Let's stand for prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ and salvation. We thank you for the things that we learned as a child from farming and from our jobs and from life and animals, that certain principles apply. We got to sow seed when it's time. We got to have the ground ready. We got to take care of it after it's sown. We got to be there for the harvest before the frost gets it. We got to do all those things, and we equate that to the work of God and understand when he spoke to us in these principles that people understood in that day, that's what they did. They sowed and made wheat grow and corn grow and things like that. Lord, we got to understand the same principles apply to our Christianity, and he said that. And we got to have everybody on board. Everybody has to be working. Nobody can ride. Nobody can drag their feet. Everybody has to be a part of the work. This great work of God that will one day be the great reward. And we can truly sing it out when we all get to heaven. What a day that will be. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, as the instrument plays for just a moment, you got any garbage you want to get rid of, the altar's open. Jesus took your garbage at Calvary. He gave his life's blood for you. He shed it that you might be free from sin. And he said, just come. And tell me you want to. To him that asketh, he receiveth. He said, you have not because you ask not. You got any stuff? You got any people that's driving you nuts? Just come put it on the altar. Say, Lord, I need you to help me deal with people that I can't handle. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your parents. Maybe it's your parents. Maybe it's your grandparents. Maybe they've got old and grouchy and grumpy and you don't know how to deal with them anymore. And you're trying to take care of them. Life's a big bunch of trouble without Jesus. But Jesus knows how to take the load and help us to get through. You need Jesus? Maybe you need to get saved yourself. Maybe you're looking for all that free stuff. What can this church do for me? No. What can you do for the church? What can you do for the church? You got Jesus in your heart? You giving your all to him? Come now. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white like wool. Oh, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. That's what we offer you. You keep dragging that stuff around and keep dragging it around. And you keep wondering why you don't have a good year, a good day. You got a good week and two bad ones. You got one good day and four bad ones. You keep wondering. You got to give that garbage to Jesus. You got to turn it over to him. You can't keep living in the dirt and expect to come in clean. You got to get washed by the blood of Jesus. You got to get cleansed. You got to get peace. You got to get the joy of Jesus in your heart. Come to Him. Come to Him. 539. Why not do it right now? Right now. Right now. One thing that God has done in my heart has given me a forgiving spirit. Listen, I can get as mad, I can get as angry, and you can start a fight with me as quick as you want to. But one thing I can't do is carry a grudge about it. I have to get over it. I have to say I'm sorry. I have to say I was wrong. When I was in the Army, they used to ask me, why are you always taking all the dirty jobs? Because they asked me to. I'm just glad to be of use. I've seen those people that never wanted to take a dirty job. Today, they're either dead, gone, or have nothing. God's blessed me. Preachers, when I got saved and I finally surrendered to preach, took me a long time. I thought, man, I'm getting in with the best people in the world. I want to tell you, preachers are some of the meanest, dirtiest people that there are. Not all of them, but some of them. And I've had some stab me in the back, helped him. But I had a real good experience here a while back. I had a preacher call me on the phone. He said, do you remember me? I said, yeah, I remember you. He said, I want to apologize for some things that I've said and done about you. Just brought tears to my eyes. I said, God, you're faithful. You are faithful to do. I told him, I said, you know, I had totally forgotten about it all. I pray for you, and I'll keep praying for you. He said, but I got to know you please forgive me. I said, I have. God is good. Amen. God is good. Amen. Don't carry garbage with you. Don't carry trash with you. You've been wrong, so was Jesus. They crucified him on a cross, and he didn't care. Father, forgive them for not what to do. It's wonderful having peace. It's wonderful laying in bed at night and going to sleep, you know, and thinking, there's nothing between me and the Savior. It's such wonderful stuff. And it's, you're able to meet those same people that have, and smile at them and shake your hand and say, how are you doing? And let them carry the load. Have peace, sweet peace. Come to Jesus. Last verse says, come to Jesus. Okay, time to dismiss and go have some fellowship, right? Go have some, pick out a good friend or family member you want to eat with and go have some fellowship and enjoy life. Just enjoy it, because you know what the first thing we're going to do when we get to heaven? Jesus is going to set us down at a big table and he's going to wait on us. Wow. I like that kind of stuff, don't you? Amen. And we won't have to worry about, do I have to loosen my belt or tighten it? All right. Amen. Brother Roy, would you have our closing prayer?